We've been on a series called Next Chapter, and I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the next chapter. I'm ready for the next phase. I'm ready to see something I've not seen before. Walk into new areas, new adventures. I call it adventures of faith because whenever you walk for the Lord, it truly is an adventure of faith. But in this series of Next Chapter, I want to take you to another level. Something that we should all know. But I want to say this in the beginning. When it feels like your world is falling apart, remember. How many of you feel like your world's been falling apart oftentimes? When you feel like your world is falling apart, it might just be Jesus rearranging things to bring everything back into place just as it should be. It just might be God is working on your behalf. You think it's falling apart, but really He's putting it back together again. The Lord just might be removing those things from your life that are holding you back. And there are some things, and I'll deal with that in a moment. Some things that are holding you back. But Pastor, you don't understand. I've got a troubling past. I have a lot of things in my past. But I want to say this, something the Lord placed in my spirit. The past doesn't equal the future. The past doesn't equal the future. What are you saying? You, say me. You have a choice in how you will live your life. What you will accept and what you'll put aside. What you'll accept, what you'll put aside. What are you going to receive into yourself and what you're going to take away. You have that choice. And I'm going to say this. We think that God forces our choices. He really doesn't. God doesn't deal. There's one thing I found out about the Lord in my 55 years of ministry. You say, but Bishop, you're only 37. I wish. But you understand that God doesn't deal with the choice. He lets you deal with it. He lets you make the decision. And that can be good, but that also can be terrifying at times. Has any of y'all made a decision you thought, man, I did the wrong thing on that one? But I want to talk to you something about, just for a moment, that is not a popular subject. It's not one of those where you run and you shout, you dance. It's not one of those things you preach at conferences. But you have to understand, it is a subject I believe that has to be addressed, especially now, especially in the hour we're living in, if we're going to be able to move toward our next chapter. It has to be addressed. You say, well, Pastor, I'm all ears. What is it? It's simple. It's called sin. What? I want to deal with sin. Because this nation needs to deal with sin. You say, boy, I'm telling you this. No. And the church needs to deal with it. What do you mean? Well, let's just define for a moment. Many of y'all understand this already, so I'm not illuminating or not telling you something you don't know. But sin is rebellion against God. Now let's unpack it a little more. It's simply this. It's not doing what God has asked you to do. So if God has asked you to do something and you are not doing it, then you are walking in sin. You say, I don't believe that. Well, believe what you want to believe. You have a right to be wrong. You understand when God asks you to do something, you do not do it, it is a sin. And when you look at James, the 4th chapter, verse 17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. So if you know to do good and you're not doing it, it is a sin. Let's just break it down a little more. Let's just say God has asked you to do something in the house of the Lord. And you It's just simply put, if you don't do it, to me, you're sinning. Because you know to do good. What is doing good? The will of the Father. Am I making it clear? So we wonder why our prayers are not answered. We wonder why we don't feel the glory anymore. I remember times when we would, we'd have prayer services in here. It would last for 2 hours. You remember? No seats to be found. 3 times on Sunday. You say, well, Bishop, here's the problem. You have changed. Come on now. Have I changed? I'm just not wearing a suit. I've not changed one bit in the last 40 years we've stood here. I've not changed one bit. We've seen some great moves of the Spirit. So what has the breakdown? The breakdown is we've allowed sins, things that we thought we don't even equate, we don't realize that we're walking in sin because we're not doing what God's asked us to do. So if God asks me to do something, if I do not do it, then what is it? It has to be, because it's rebellion against God. I'm rebelling against what He's asked. So where did sin start? Oh, I know where sin started. Man, I got that one, Bishop. I remember, Eve, she just took that fruit. She ate that fruit, and that's where sin began. No, no, no. It's not where sin began. It happened a long time before that. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend to the heaven. I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne. Let me say this. A lot of problems we're having in the church world today is people not wanting to realize their position in the house. And so because their position is not what they want, they run out and try to find another house or another place or start their own ministry, not realizing that God's called them to be a servant in a house. He's called them to serve in the house. I know people right now, we've started 7 or 8 churches out of here now. And you realize that a lot of them are just because people want to do it their way. Now I want to ask you a question. You're smart. If you're wanting to do it your way, which means it's not God's way, then it is sin. So how can you start something calling it of God and it's sin? Am I making sense? Maybe this is just something that came to me this week. Maybe it just got into my spirit. But same thing Lucifer did. I don't want to serve in this house. I don't want to serve my Creator. I will ascend, he said. I will ascend. I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I'm going to be the big deal. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell in the sides of the pit. Lucifer. In my mind's eye, one day, the Bible teaches us that he was created perfect in all his ways. He was beautiful. You had Lucifer, you had 3 archangels mentioned. Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. Lucifer, we assume through scriptures that he was over worship. Michael was over battle, and Gabriel was over delivering a message. But I can just see him one day, as some people do. He walked by and saw his reflection. Man, I'm better than this. Look at me. I'm going to ascend to the sides of the north. I'm going to take over God's position. Because look at me. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. More people have fallen because of that. Pride is a sin. Why? Because it drives you into a place you do not need to be. So, I know at the end of the service here, I'll receive the tithe and offering. I know at the end of the service, I'm going to be anointing and praying for people. We've seen some marvelous healings over the years and even recently. God has done some marvelous things. But the deal is, the Lord really challenged me this week, and he said, you want to continue doing that? Then you're going to deal with sin. So when you're telling people it's okay not to serve in the house of the Lord, just do your own thing. Now I'm talking from the pastor's heart. Just do your own thing, and it don't matter if you give. It doesn't really matter what you do. I'm going to tell you, it's a sin. Let's just break it down. Let's be normal today. When I start telling you it's okay, it's all right, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, you don't have to do the other. Matter of fact, I challenged the ushers today in our pre-meeting we had, that we've gotten so, I don't know if this term's proper, if the semantics is proper, but lackadaisical. That's Southern, isn't it? That whenever we come into the house of the Lord and there's worship, we don't even worship. We just bide our time thinking that we're chewing our way to the sermon, because that's where you don't realize without worship, you cannot receive the sermon. And that's why I reversed and said we'll take the tithe and offer at the end of the service, because I don't believe you can actually give properly until you've heard the word. You watch these mega ministries, and many of them I've been friends with over the years, but you watch how they were mega and now they're not. And you say, what happened? We didn't deal with sin. We just didn't deal with it. But pride goes before destruction. I'm too prideful to mention it. I'm too proud to say I need help. Listen, all the way to church today, I prayed and said, Lord, I can't make it without you. Lord, I can't do it without you. Lord, I must have you. I mean, if your spirit is not upon me, I can't stand before the people. What can I say to the people without you being with me? But I want you to hear these next few statements. And dealing with sin. And watching what Lucifer did. Lucifer's fall was not an isolated event. What do you mean? He drew a third of the angels with him. His pride drew a third of the angels with him. What did he do? He led them into rebellion through his sin against God. Here's a truth that is revealed about sin. This is cool. It rarely operates in isolation. Sin rarely operates in isolation. Sin doesn't want to be alone. It wants to get into bed with a lot of people, with a lot of things. It reaches out. The tentacles of sin reaches out and pulls others into its own grip, affecting not only the one who fails or falls, but also those that are nearby. That's sin. And here's another one. Sin's influence is contagious. Have you ever said, I'm not going to do something? I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to do that. And you hang out with certain people, and all of a sudden you're saying the same thing and doing the same thing. You're doing exactly what they were doing. And you wonder, how did that happen? It's contagious. Just like unbelief is contagious. Fear is contagious. Matter of fact, I think the Bible, you say, I have a problem believing, Bishop. Well, you're a sinner. What do you mean? I think the Scripture says, help me, theologians, the sinful heart of unbelief. I believe it says that. A sinful heart of unbelief. So if we have an unbelieving heart, we're walking in. You say, Bishop, I'm not going to even say amen to this message. You don't have to. I know I'm right. Why did God say it to me? It's so contagious. It spreads through relationships. It spreads through families. It spreads through communities. It spreads through our nation. subtly influencing thoughts, choices, and our values. What's happened to America? Subtly, it changed. Here's what it reminds me of. It reminds us that the consequences of sin extend far beyond ourselves, beyond this church. It often involves those that you really care about. See, it's not just my sin. It gets into you. It's not just your sin. It gets into me. It starts to influence. This truth that we're talking about, this truth calls us to vigilance and integrity, knowing that our choices that we make have a ripple effect. So choosing righteousness not only protects our own lives, but it protects and strengthens and uplifts everyone around us when we choose to walk circumspectly. We choose to walk according to the Word of God. He said, Bishop, I haven't heard you preach like this in 100 years. It's because it hit me this week. I said, Lord, where am I missing it? He said, well, I'll show you where you're missing it. You need to deal with sin in the camp. Y'all remember the story about Moses going up on Mount Sinai? I think it was Mount Sinai. He said, I hear them down there. It sounds like war down there. No, they're partying. There's sin in the camp. God knows how to deal with sin, and you don't want Him to deal with it. I've not got to the end of the story yet. With all these things I've just mentioned is in mind, be mindful of what you cling to. I'm going to get to the point. Be mindful of what you cling to as you step into your next chapter. Be careful what you reach back for. Choose carefully what you allow into this new space, new experience. For whatever you carry with you, it inevitably will unpack itself along the way. Whatever you carry will unpack its way. You may not even want to see it, but here it comes. Matter of fact, all these things that I'm mentioning has the power to shape your life in profound ways. I want to show you something here for a moment. And I may not be flowing like you think I should flow. It's because I didn't know what I was going to say and how I was going to say it. How do you deal with a subject that I don't even like to preach about? I like to preach about faith and power and we're going to make it. But I don't want to fake it till I make it. I want to make it. Amen. But here's a man, Moses. You want to talk about certain things. He understood you can't go into your next chapter reaching back into the old chapter. You can't reach back into sin and take it into your next chapter. Moses, Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. For a short time. Everybody understand, sin is temporary. It's just a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of the greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. So Moses realized he couldn't do the will of God and carry Egypt with him. He couldn't carry what Egypt represented in him. How do we think we can go forward into our next chapter carrying a lot of Egypt with us? Some of us have got a lot of Egypt. I have at times. Want to reach back. Matter of fact, I think it's a sin even to say, you know, I don't even like to mention, we talk about the old days that we used to have here. The old time. I mean, we were in 120 nations at one time on television. Y'all remember? Doing all kinds of great works. But I think when you do that, you sin, really. Because what you need to start looking forward is the future and not the past. Because God has something far greater than you've ever imagined. But Moses understood it, something we don't understand, that I'm not going to take into my new experience something that was not what I needed. So how do we approach our next chapter? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Scriptures. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. I'm going to my next chapter. And the sin that so easily does beset us, I'm going to throw it away. That hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How do we do it? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He didn't have to. He endured it for you. He endured it for me. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What are you saying, Pastor? It's easy. Take a close look today at what you're holding on to. Anger. Hurt. Man, she really hurt me. My seventh wife really bothered me. And all those wives were wrong. I was right. Really? All the hurts I've got. All the pain I've suffered. And you keep carrying it with you. All it's doing is hindering what your walk with the Lord. It's hindering what you can do for God. We need to take a close look at what we're holding on to, what we're cherishing. You might be opening the door to defeat in your next chapter. Before you ever get going, self-defeating. Matter of fact, maybe you've made room for an unwelcome guest in your life. Sin, and it is a choice. Sin is a choice. Rebellion against God is a choice. You make that choice. And it's easy to sin. It's hard to walk for God. Now, anybody gets up and preaches and says, man, it's easy to walk for God. They have lost their minds. It's not that easy because sin is so easy. I mean, here's the deal. They tell me, don't eat this, don't eat that, don't eat that. What do I want? That. Don't eat bacon. I want that. Don't eat cream pie, coconut cream pie. I want that. Everything that I don't need is what I want. And everything that I do need, I turn it aside. I don't need the greens. I don't need the salad. And if I had black-eyed peas, I want it full of pork. Well, sin is this way. It fills whatever your eyes are seeing full of pork. I mean, it sets you up. Can we be honest? I mean, we are Christians, aren't we? How many of you, it was very easy for you to fall into some things that you didn't want to do? I can see those hands. Watch. I mean, some of the things I said, I told my daddy. When I was a young man, I said, Daddy, I'm going to tell you what. I pointed that preacher finger. My daddy was some kind of man. He just listened to me. I said, Daddy, there ain't no way. And I went down the line of all the things I would not do. I wouldn't look at this person. I was talking about women. Not person. I went all the line, everything I said I would not do because I'm going to be holy. I did every one of them. And God said to me, see, it's not through works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. It's not through works of the flesh. What is he saying? Your flesh is weak. Your spirit may be willing, but your flesh is weak. Because you want that and not this. Am I making sense yet? Like I said, I didn't practice this. I'm just trying to tell you, if you're wondering why we're going through some of the difficulties we're going through, it's really because you probably aren't listening to the Spirit. Just not listening. There's a time we have to, as the old statement, to thine own self be true. There's a time you need to sit down by yourself and be true to yourself. It's nobody else's fault that you're in the situation you're in. You're having trouble moving into your next chapter. You need to look in the mirror. It's probably you. So I say this. Don't allow the sin in your last chapter follow you into your new experience. Why? Because it will stop cold, stop dead the communication you have with God. Can you prove that, Bishop? Yep. Matter of fact, I'm glad you asked. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And he said, wherefore art thou, Adam? And Adam and his wife had hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. What stopped communication? Sin stopped it. Do you think it's different today? It will stop communication with the Father until you get certain things right. We'll get there in a minute. I don't care if you call yourself a Christian, you wear three crosses and carry seven Bibles. Until you do certain things, God's not going to hear you. There's certain things, criteria. But you don't understand, Bishop. I know you don't understand because you're a man of God. And I've probably done more than any of y'all here. As Paul said, I'm the chiefest. Isn't that what he said? Chiefest of all sinners? Isn't that what Paul said? But my sins are so small and insignificant. But I found out in the scriptures this morning, verses I've read so many hundreds of times, that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Don't take a big sin. Just takes a sin that's persistent. That keeps on keeping on. Keeps talking to you. How about this one? You're finished. You're through. It'll never happen for you. What God has said to you, you're talking to yourself. You need to be real careful listening to that other voice. Because that other voice will lead you into sin, which is away from the will of God. It's the little foxes. You'll find that Song of Solomon, 2:15. It's the little foxes. And I ain't talking about women. Them too. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. We need to stop taking our old chapter into our new life for Jesus Christ. We cannot allow the sins of the past to define our future. I won't allow that. How can we do that, Bishop? Close the chapter. Quit reading it. Quit going back to it. Quit reminiscing over those things you thought were pleasurable. Now, it got real quiet right there. Because a lot of people sit and reminisce over things that, oh, man, that was fun. Ooh, wow. And you realize it ain't all that good. I've done a lot of things in my life, and one thing I found out, none of it brought what I would call completeness. It felt empty. It felt cold. I felt lost. And you know what did that? Sin does that. makes me feel lonely. And I blame sin for what it's done to the church. It has decimated the church of Jesus Christ. Not Jesus. It's decimated the people that call themselves Christians. It's decimated them. There's no more joy anymore. There's no more peace anymore. There's no happiness anymore. We come to church and we fake it. We just fake it. How are you doing today? Praise God, I am high and lifted up. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. And you don't mean anything you just said. Highly prosperous. You ain't got enough money to pay your bills. We've become masters at lying, which is a sin. Sin loses its power. How? The men love darkness better than life because their deeds were evil. Sin loses power in the light. When we start talking about it and addressing it, it starts losing its power. How? Here's the hope we have. When we confess our sins, you say, but Bishop, God already knows. He wants you to know it. He wants you to say it. When we confess our sins and we bring them to God in repentance, we literally, at that point, Randy, strip the hold of sin when we start doing that. The grip is broken. What do you mean? 1 John 1:9 says, it gives us this assurance. If we, notice that word, that's a powerful word, if. If I marry you, if I pay my bills, if I don't run the stop sign. If we confess our sins, He is then faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We cannot let shame and guilt or fear keep us bound. As long as you walk in that, you're going to be walking in shame and guilt. Now let me say this. God is eager to forgive. He wants to forgive. He wants to restore. He wants to set all of us free. Do you believe that? Yes. Repentance isn't a place of shame, but a door to grace. Some have said that grace is the unmerited favor of God. I say grace is the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. It enables you to make it. It enables you to overcome darkness, to overcome sin, to overcome doing the, you know, sometimes you don't want to be a part of the church. You don't want to be a part. You don't want, you know what? What you want doesn't matter. It's what God wants. There's hope. Here is our hope for our next chapter. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Jesus. Everything's about the cross. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That's why laws, they set laws up and you break the law, you're sinning. But where sin abounded, here's my hope, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's enabling power. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God spoke a truth one day. He always speaks truth. But He spoke a truth to Cain that we all must understand. Remember Cain, he slew Abel, his brother? God said this to him before He killed his brother. Genesis 4:6, He said, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Why are you looking that way? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin, this is the New International Version, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but watch this next words. But God says, but you must master it. You must master it. Sin can be mastered. How? Through the enabling power of the Holy Ghost. So, let's put a caboose on this so I can pray for you. Because that's what I love. I love to see people healed, saved, and delivered. I love to see people's dreams come true, come to pass. But there's some things we're going to have to deal with. Sin's deception may be subtle, but God's truth is more powerful. Let me call you to remembrance that we're not called to live in shame or secrecy, but in the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm free at last. Free at last. Praise God Almighty, I'm free at last. So what must we do? Let's commit to walking in the light as He is in the light. Let's keep our hearts open to His truth. His truth through Jesus Christ. Because through Him we have the power to overcome. Not be overwhelmed, but overcome.